Good evening, everybody. Tonight's class is dedicated for the Fu'a Shelema, for Nizha Batzara, Simcha, Elliot Brown, and for Yosef Ben Adel, and for Yitzchak Rafael Ben Adel, by the Shiloach family. That's A.B. and his wonderful wife. There's a principle in our religion. It's a very, 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 very important mitzvah. I never say the most important, because then next week I can't talk when I tell you the next most important mitzvah. But it's a very, 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 very important mitzvah. It's very high up there, and I know because of the teshuvah process, if you violate it, and I know what it means. And in fact, most of you would say it probably is a very great mitzvah, because it's called Kiddush Hashem. And Kiddush Hashem we think of, especially, the reason I got into this was in the last few days with all the talk about the Holocaust and all the tragedies that befell the Jewish people, where people sacrificed their lives saying Shema Yisrael rather than give in to an enemy. That's really Kiddush Hashem, and that's what we think of. Kiddush Hashem is a Nazi comes and the person refuses to do something that they say, and they're coming simply because you're Jewish, and the person gives up their life. It's Kiddush, just like when Nimrod told Abraham Avinu he better bow down to the idol. And he said no. He says, I'll throw you in the furnace. And he threw him in the furnace. It's Kiddush Hashem. If he dies, still Kiddush Hashem. And it says in the Torah, V'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael, I shall become sanctified. Hashem says, I will be sanctified amidst the people of Israel. I was the one who took you out of Egypt. And that's considered mitzvot aseh doraita, one of the 613 mitzvot. It's a positive commandment. It's written in the Torah. It's one of the 248 positives. The question is brought by the Midrash as to why it says Yitziat Mitzrayim next to this mitzvah. Why does it mention, I took you out of Egypt? Sanctify my name, I took you out. And it turns out that the explanation of that midrash is the whole purpose of taking you out of Egypt is so that you people, that's you people sitting here, can become the vehicle to sanctify God's name in the world. And if we took a poll amongst most Jews, Kiddush Hashem, sanctifying God's name, will be becoming a martyr. M-A-R-T-U-I-R. And that's the true definition of the mitzvah. And a Jew must be willing to do that. Now, of course, in the halakha, there are certain conditions. You do it, certain conditions you don't do it. But that's the basic mitzvah. But Kiddush Hashem doesn't simply relate to death. And I want that to be very clear. Because that's the basis of what we're going to talk about tonight. Rav Palm, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. I guess some of you saw him on the video, Tisha B'Av, but I don't know. I heard he was on some videos, was on other videos. Rav Palm was a great, great man who lived in the great city of Brooklyn, New York, until a few years ago. A very, very unique Torah personality. One of the Gedolei HaDor. Probably in his time, the greatest rabbi living in America. And he passed away just a few years ago. I was fortunate to meet him and to talk to him. And very special, special person. He took a pasuk in Tehillim. Let me read it to you. Livnei Korach Mizmor. Livnei Korach Mizmor Shir, actually. Yusudato Beharei Kodesh. It's the 87th chapter of Tehillim. By the sons of Korach, a psalm. Psalm is one of my favorite English words. Because that's like Leviticus and Deuteronomy. It's words that I don't know what that means. Ecclesiastes is even better than that. It's Kohelet. I don't know what it means. But a song whose foundation is in the holy mountains, plural. So he says, oh, the foundation of the Jewish people is based on two mountains. Which two mountains? Anybody think of the two biggest mountains in our history? I don't mean the tallest. Har Sinai is one. Very good. The man in the back row. What's the other one? Very good. Two for two. Same man. You heard this tape already. He knows every one of my tapes by heart. I don't know what he tells me. So, Har HaMoriah is the second one. That's where Yaakov slept. That's where Yitzchak was put on the altar. That's where the Beit HaMikdash existed. Har HaMoriah. The place where the Torah was given and the mountain on which Har HaBayit stands. And those two mountains, say David HaMelech in the Tehillim, symbolize the Jew's obligation in life. You Jewish? That means you. It means you. What's the difference between the two? Well, before we say the difference, I'll give you a beautiful story he brings. It's about the Chafetz Chaim, who was a young yeshiva student standing next to him. Chafetz Chaim is praying. Must have been some experience. I would like to be there. We don't have the zechut always to be where we want to be. Chafetz Chaim was praying, he was pleading, he was begging that he should be given an opportunity to die b'kiddush Hashem. That's something to pray for. Now, most of us knowing that he lived to the ripe age of 100 or even 100 plus, some say, I know it's not the real age because it was in the New York Times. I have a New York Times from 1933. I have a copy of the obituary for the Chafetz Chaim, and it said he was 106. By most accounts, he was between 95 and 100. Maybe he was 100. I know one thing. If it said 106 in the Times, that's the only age he wasn't when he died. And I guess his prayer wasn't answered. If years before he prayed to die Kiddush Hashem and he died a natural death at the ripe old age of 100, let's say, you could say his prayers weren't answered. Which raises a question. Most of us pray Ashrei Yoshvei Betecha every day. Some of us have a name like Rachamim. Does everybody know that Amidah is a place you put a pasuk with your name in it? You know that one? At the end of the Amidah, there's a sigula that when a person goes to Shamayim, they're going to forget their name. So you're supposed to say a pasuk that starts with the first letter of your name and ends with the last letter of your name. For example, my name is Rachamim. This pasuk is Ritzon, starts with a resh, ra, ra. Ritzon yav yaseh, ve'et shabbatam ishma v'yoshiyem, rachamim. So it starts with resh, and that's my pasuk. So at the end of the Amidah, that's in the Siddur, it tells you where to do it. The Sigulat, if you say it every day in Amidah, when they ask in Shemayim, what's your name, you won't forget. But I only brought it up because the Pasuk is the Tzorni Av Yaseh, the desires and the wants of the ones who fear God, Hashem does. You got the question now. Chafetz Chaim prayed for something that he really, 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 really wanted. So how come he didn't get it? Ritzon Yav Yaseh. If that's what he wanted, Hashem should give it to him. You might say, you could perhaps say that his prayer was not answered. But you could say, if he said, I wanted Kiddush Hashem as a mitzvah, you could say he was granted that mitzvah. Because there's a side to Kiddush Hashem, which is tonight's subject, which is to live and bring Kiddush Hashem. To live in a way that elevates and sanctifies Hashem's name in the world. Dying on Kiddush Hashem, very, very difficult. I don't want that test. Nobody knows if they could pass that test. Nobody knows. Listen, we could dance now. It's 3 weeks are over. So, I just wonder if everybody in their cars, when they listen to the CDs, hears a phone ring and reaches for the dashboard. Because I know when I bang on the table, they all turn around. I've been a very good boy this summer. But maybe the Chafetz Chaim's answer to his prayer was, I'm going to let you live to 100 because everything you do and everything you say and everywhere you walk, you are performing a Kiddush Hashem. And that's what the Pasuk meant. Yitzchak was tied on the altar and bound to die for Kiddush Hashem. That's one man. And Hashem gave us the book to live by on the other mountain to live by. And that's also Kiddush Hashem. I tell you now the summary of tonight's class. I don't usually do this early. This is way early. This is like 11:45 into the class. We broke a record today. Everybody can write down this date. The purpose of the Jew on this planet, your real purpose for being alive, why you walk and talk and drink and eat and sleep, is to increase the honor of Hashem in the world. Lekadesh Shem Shamayim Barabim. You have to do it as much as you can because that's why you're here. There's a Rambam. People like Rambam. The good reviews when they quote the Rambam. Let me find it. There's a Rambam that says Kol ha'ave midato. It also cost me one page of photo paper because I printed it on the wrong paper. This is pretty great. Kol ha'ave midato bilo onis alachat mikol mitzvot ha'amorat ba'Torah. Anybody who knowingly violates without being forced one of the mitzvot of the Torah with intent to anger is mechalel et Hashem. It's desecrating Hashem's name. And so too, I'm skipping, one who pulls back, withdraws, holds back from doing an avera, doing something you're not supposed to do, or does a mitzvah, get this, one mitzvah, any mitzvah, not out of fear, and not to gain respect, but just because Hashem said, that's called Kiddush Hashem. Sounds easy. I like that. I do a mitzvah because Hashem said, I did Kiddush Hashem. I didn't do what I know He doesn't want me to do. I avoided Chilul Hashem. V'yesh divanim achrim. This is now halacha yud aleph, the next halacha. There were certain things, shehen bichlal Chilul Hashem, that are considered chilul Hashem. She'ase otam adam gadol b'Torah mfusam ha'chazdut devarim shabriyot menarim achara b'shvilam. That a great person does that causes people to yatta, 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 yatta. Did you hear what he did? I like the word because in Lashon HaKodesh it's meraninim afara. Meraninim sounds like the tape when it's fair. Meraninim. If people are gossiping about what a great person did, the rabbi did, the this one did, the teacher did, the great Baal Tzedakah did, the president of the shul did, that's chilul Hashem. Even though what the person did, that great person, is not a sin, that's called chilul Hashem. He hung out with the wrong people. He had lunch with Amei Haaretz. Or maybe he didn't speak pleasantly to people. He was a little rude, rash, brash, whatever that word is. He didn't greet people with a pleasant countenance. Sever panim yafot. He's argumentative, losing his temper. Hakol lefi godlo shel chacham. It all depends on the status of the person. The greater the person is, the bigger the microscope that watches their behavior. The reason I quote this Rambam is to tell you that Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem depends on who you are. And the greater you are, the more careful one must be. So you're off the hook, right? I saw you're like, oh great, it's not me. It's not talking about me. It's all those other guys. They got to sit in the front on the stage in the shul, otherwise I'm off the hook. I can feel the sigh of relief in all of you. But wait a minute. Let's look at the planet. How many billion people, oh, you're a CPA. How many billion people inhabit this earth? 6 billion? 3 billion are Arabs and Muslims and 6 is the whole world? Wow, that's incredible. All right, we take his word for it. 6 billion people inhabit this planet. How many Jews? 14, 15? Let's go big. 16 million, all right? It was a big baby boom last year. 16 million Jews out of 6 billion. How many of those Jews are Orthodox? Three to 4 million. We'll go with it. These are all guesses. I don't care if it's accurate. Please, in tape land, CD land, don't send me emails. I don't know the numbers. Everybody gets smart when I say something wrong on the tape. So now we're ending up with 3 to 4 million are Orthodox. All right, 4 million against 6 billion. You guys are very special. You're from the elite of planet Earth. If I dropped any one of you down in a country called India, in Hashem's eyes, you are His ambassador. And you're in the top 0.00001%. Very special people. So now your microscope can pick up neutrons, protons,
DNA. Because how you behave is being observed with a microscopic checker. You could never get on the plane. You see, he said it goes according to Godel HaChacham. That's what Rambam is talking about. But I want you to understand, when we get below the Chacham level, every Orthodox observant Yehudi is an ambassador of Hashem. So when it says it depends how you walk, how you talk, how you do business, how you smile at people, how you cut the line, how you double park, how loudly you speak on your telephone on the train. It's an opportunity for Kiddush Hashem, and it's a trap for Chilul Hashem. That's measured according to who you are. And regardless of what you think of yourself, you are very special. And you're being watched. The Chafetz Chaim taught this to his son. And he told him, you have to know that this is very important. Ma'aseh b'bno shel Chafetz Chaim. There was some matter. And he warned his son, watch how you handle this. There's a danger of Chilul Hashem. And it's a situation that a Talmid Chacham, rabbi, rabbinical student, call it what you like, has to be very careful. Now, although he was the Chafetz Chaim's son, he wasn't a Talmid Chacham. So he said, Dad, imagine telling the Chafetz Chaim, Dad, I'm not a Talmid Chacham. And it's reported that the Chafetz Chaim answered his son, in regards to Chilul Hashem, you're enough of a Talmid Chacham. And that's what I want to tell you tonight. In regard to Chilul Hashem, we all get elevated to a special status, whereby we must be very, very careful. Sefer Yireim, a book of Musar. Mitzvah Vav, sixth mitzvah. I read and translate. Ve'lo techalelu et shem kodshi. Do not desecrate God's name. Mikra zeh nokeh v'yored ha'tehom. This pasuk cuts through to the depths of creation. Ve'alav zeh yidvu kol hadavim ki chilul Hashem yeshno v'kama devarim v'hem lav shiur. Chilul Hashem covers many different aspects of life, and there's no minimum. Sometimes you have to eat a certain minimum, like on Kippur. If you have one bite, you didn't violate eating on Kippur. You have to eat a certain amount. There's no shiur. It's very, very small. Shekol am vazeh apilu mitzvah achat. Someone who belittles even one mitzvah. Umekel klav lechot shamayim. Or treats lightly the honor of heaven. Is called mechalel Hashem. And if the person is Lomed Torah, a person who learns, Sarik Shishmor Atzmom Anakiur Min Adomelo Shelo Yavod Edech Hashad, should avoid things that are ugly. Behavior that is ugly. You want to know something? It's a very good word. I think you all understand. Did you ever see anybody behave ugly? Supermarket, in the lobby of the shul, in the parking lot. I've seen it. And you cringe. If you know them, it's even worse. You cringe because you know them. Never happened to you? You're watching somebody you know, like you went to school with them, you grew up with them, you played canasta with them, I don't know, you know them. And they're behaving in a way that you're embarrassed that they may turn to you right after they do whatever they're doing and say, "Aren't I right, Gladys?" And you'll shrink. Well, Hashem is watching. And so are other people. Everything you do. Even if the waitress is giving you horrible service. No right to be rude. You think nobody's there but you and the whole restaurant? I hope not. The food's not good. When you go to the restaurant, the service is slow and you're loud and you talk rude. Or you pick up your phone and start to them. Nobody's watching? So we established that you're all Tamidei Chachamim. And we established that Chilul Hashem doesn't take much. So I want to do Kiddush Hashem. Hechidameh. What is Kiddush Hashem? What is living to sanctify God's name? It's not so hard. Do you know it's not so hard? As easy it is to do the opposite, it's just as easy to make Kiddush Hashem. Watch what the Gemara says. Want to learn Gemara tonight? Let's learn Gemara. Very hard pasuk. You never heard of it. Da'avtat Hashem Elokecha. Heard of it? Good. Shema Yisrael, first line. And you should love Hashem, your God. Says the Gemara, Shem Shamayim Mit'ahev Al Yadecha. I know you're not all expert in grammar, syntax, and all that other stuff. Mit'ahev is reflexive. I majored in English. It's a reflexive verb. Hashem's name should become loved through your behavior. So you say, what does that mean? The Gemara explains. She'ekoreh v'shoneh shemesh t'merei chachamim. Person learns, reads, hangs out with the rabbis, goes to shul, so to speak, goes to classes. You're all guilty. Sorry, I did it to you. You got to this level, you go to class. People, you go to class, yeah, I go. So now you're in this level. Gotcha. Got nailed. First of all, dealings with people. Business, trading, it's pleasant. How are you? Good afternoon. Oh, you want to pay here? Okay. No tax? Of course not. Wrap it, ship it, off to New Jersey? Good. What do people say about a person like that? Ashre aviv shelimedot Torah. How fortunate is the father of that person? How good is that person's father that taught them the ways of the Torah? Ashresh Rabbo, how praiseworthy is the rabbi of that person who taught him Torah? Oy lahem labiriyot, how unfortunate are people who didn't learn Torah? Look, kamana'im derachav, how beautiful are that person's ways. How proper. Says Hashem, my servant Israel, in whom I become glorified. But on the other hand, if somebody is, and then the Gemara tells you rude and doesn't deal honestly and does all the things that we don't want to do, right? What do they say about him? That religious person, look what they learned. Look how they are. That's Chilul Hashem. Whew. Glad I'm not a black guy. I'm not like them. But remember, you're in that 0.00001%. And your job has become clear now that the name of Hashem should be loved because you're wearing a suit that says ambassador of the nation of God. I'm Hashem's ambassador. Give me a moment. Derech Briato Shel Adam. Big on the Rambam tonight. Maimonides. The way the person, it's natural. Liyot Nimshach B'deotam Savach Erev Chavirav. That a person's thoughts and deeds should be patterned after those of one's friends and neighbors. And for a person to conduct oneself in the way, oh, this is a dangerous word, of his or her community. Therefore, Rambam, this is 1,000 years old, I didn't write this. A person must attach himself to the righteous and forever sit among the wise, so he will learn from their ways. And he must distance himself from the wicked who go in darkness, so he will not learn from his ways, or their ways. What's a person to do? Where are you going to live? Now, all he said here in these few chosen words, you're a product of your environment. If you live in a rude, brash, commercial, greedy, self-centered, egotistic, narcissist, plastic surgery world, oh, that's where you live? Then you will become like that. That's what Rambam says. And he says, guess what? It ain't your fault, babe. Hashem made you that way. That a person should be drawn after the environment and become a product of one's environment. Do you think the ways of our great country, I'm not knocking the flag, it's behind me, I won't insult it. But you think the ways of the general public in this country, in the blue states, fit the behavior of an ambassador of Hashem? Business practices, advertising, dress code, general volume of speech in public, cell phones, laptops, driving, honking, barking dogs, dogs in general, the way people act, you think that's the one they're going to say, what fine, wonderful people. I answer the question, probably not. Do you agree? Let's take a vote. Good. Okay. Put your hands down now. So what's a person to do? Rambam, you put me in a place that I am on this planet. This is the way I am. I live in this city. This is how people are. You tell me it's natural for me to be like them. So what do you want me to do? He gives a solution. If he is in a province whose customs are wicked, and whose people do not go in an upright way, solution, then he, I'm only saying he, ladies, don't hold it against me, it's just I'm translating, then he must go to a place whose people are righteous, and whose conduct, who conduct themselves in a good way. Good. Call the 7 Santini brothers, we're moving. However, such a province is hard to find in this shrinking world of internet, video, and wireless. Because we're becoming like one world, one country. I happen to feel that's part of Mashiach coming, by the way, that everybody can communicate instantly and see and speak the same language. You can see it's going to happen. So, it's all the tools of Mashiach. If all the provinces that he knows and hears of do not go in a good way, what should a person do? Or, maybe the tickets are expensive. Maybe he's unable to travel to a good place because of sickness, or fear of marauders. Oh no, guess what he wants? Then the person should live in solitude. That means alone, as you're not well versed in the English language. And if the people are sinful and wicked, so much so that they do not allow him to live in their province unless he mingles with them and conducts himself in their wicked manner, then let him flee to the caves, the crevices, and the wildernesses, rather than conduct himself in the ways of sinners, as is written, if that I could, this is Yirmiyahu, but be set in the wilderness and lodging of wayfarers, so I could take leave of my people and go away from them. So basically, you have to understand one thing. This is Rambam. It sounds like a thesis, how a person should be. It would be nice if you could do it, except one thing. This is in his book called Yad HaChazaka, which is Halacha. So halacha requires that a person flee negative influence. Was it clear? I mean, is that what it sounded like? Max? Sounded like that? Okay. Even if it means living in a cave in the wilderness. With prices today, it may not be a bad idea. I just got my electric bill. July. One big one. Now there's two sides to this. I don't want you to get this wrong. What he's saying is, don't underestimate the influence of your environment on you. You know, I notice a lot of times when somebody's progressing, they're building their personality. I might call it spirit, religious. Just, they're progressing in their ways. They become a little finer. They become a little gentler. You know, George Bush talk. Finer, gentler. Which president was that? The finer, gentler. You know. Suddenly, not everyone, but the fringe of their friends that they're drawing away from embarrass them a little bit. Isn't it funny? Did you ever experience it? How could she talk so loud? You know, people here. How could he do that? How could he behave that way? It's so rude. And the person just became a little bit fun, a little more well-mannered, a little more adult and mature. And suddenly, the friend they had is embarrassing. And it especially happens when the Torah is your guide, because a lot of the things we do without Torah just don't fit the Torah lifestyle. And it doesn't mean everybody who's religious knows the Torah lifestyle. I want you to think that. Because the difference between the person who thinks they're observant and knows Torah and the person who really does know Torah and is observant. I don't want that mistake to be made. When I see someone behave rudely who's dressed and looks and attests to be a Torah person, I don't blame the Torah they learned. I blame the Torah they didn't learn. The Torah they skipped that allows them to be rude to somebody. Not that it allows it, but it's the gap in their Torah learning that allows them to be rude. So now, Rambam is telling us, don't underestimate the influence of your environment and your friends. And if they don't fit the personality, which is the idea, you got to run away. But that's just my friend. You're kidding? I'm not going anywhere in beta class. You told me I'm not going anywhere. That's it. That was the last one. Well, it's the end of the summer anyhow. You know, I always take chances in August. July, I miss the nice guy. By August, I get tough.
Negative surroundings breed negative behavior. Don't kid yourself.
And the fact that a neshama, not a person, a neshama can be so affected by its environment places an awesome responsibility on every Jew to ensure that his or her behavior does not influence others negatively. So now we changed the focus. You thought till 5 minutes ago I was going to tell you to run away from bad people. And now I'm telling you, don't you be that bad person. Because you too have nuclear power to affect somebody else negatively. You know, we live in a top this country. Can you top this? If a person in a group should say something that makes fun, only joking, sketching, belittles and embarrasses a person to where everybody in the crowd laughs, do you know what's the next thing to happen? One of the laughers tries to top it with another barb, another arrow, another missile. Because if I could make them laugh louder, then I'm bigger. Or maybe just because of what Rambam said. If you're in a crowd of people who like to embarrass people, you too will embarrass people. But what I'm telling you tonight is, don't be the one to start the ball rolling. Rather than bring down the atmosphere, purify the air, upgrade your own behavior so that you will affect those around you in a positive way. You'll be shocked at how it works. Rashi says, on that page I read you from the Gemara, one who's guilty of Chilul Hashem, desecrating Hashem's name, is Chote Umachati. Again, the syntax is a sinner in a manner that influences others to sin. Rav says on that page, you know, I'm a great rabbi. If I take meat from the butcher, this is not you, by the way, this is Rav. If I take meat from the butcher and I don't pay on the spot, that's Chilul Hashem for me. Because the butcher might think I didn't pay because in the back of my mind I have intentions of getting away with it. And that's not so bad, although we have to be nikiyim, that we have a different class on being clean in the eyes of people, not being subject to suspicion. But no! What was that called? Clean living. Clean living, right? Okay, he knows everyone. But these suspicions about my behavior on the part of the butcher who's giving the meat, says Rav, may make him drop his standards and he'll become lax in his monetary matters. Misilat Yisharim. The various aspects of Chilul Hashem are numerous and significant. A man must be exceedingly concerned for the honor of his master. One must carefully scrutinize and ponder all that he does so that a disgrace to the honor of heaven shall not result, God forbid. Unintentional or intentional, both are alike in Chilul Hashem. Each man or woman, in accordance with his or her own spiritual level and his standing in the eyes of his generation, must exercise forethought so he doesn't do something unbefitting a person of his stature. It is an honor to the Torah when one devotes himself exceedingly to its study, is likewise devoted to correcting and refining his or her midot. That's your character. To the extent that such a refinement is lacking, the study of Torah is disparaged, and this is a disgrace to the name of Hashem, who gave us the Torah, took us out of Egypt, so we could refine ourselves. Rabbi Scheinberg once told me, everybody knows Rabbi Scheinberg is by Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg. He's an American-born rabbi who's now a great Rosh Yeshiva, one of the Gedolei Ador in Eretz Yisrael. I'll be here next week, actually. He was born in 1910. So I believe he's 95 this birthday. He wears approximately 100 tzitzits under his suit. He's a tiny little man. He looks like a lineman for a football team. You see him in a suit. He's a halachic expert. Posek that many people go to with Shailot. I was once sitting with him in the house, and we're talking about, I said, you know, who's in the yeshiva, what happens at yeshiva, what kind of guys you take in the yeshiva, because he has a very important yeshiva in Eretz Israel. And he told me something very unusual. He says he doesn't take a student without interviewing the parents. Many yeshivot do. They interview the boy, or they test the boy, and they take him. But he says when it's a new applicant to the yeshiva and he interviews the parents, he only asks the parents about the student's shortcomings. The parents come in espousing all the great character traits and learning and report cards of the student. And Rabbi Scheinberg goes, but where is he lacking? Because to perfect a student, he feels he has to perfect the flaws, not only develop the strengths. Chazal tell us, Mishiyesh biyado chiyul Hashem, and koach b'tshuva litlot. Teshuva cannot hold back the punishment. Ve'lo b'yom ha'kippurim nechaper. And Yom Kippur doesn't work to atone. Ve'lo b'yisurim nemarek. And affliction, suffering, doesn't soften the punishment. Kol tolim umita memareket. It takes death to clean it up. But I'm going to bail you out. They give another remedy for Chilul Hashem. Here's the sin that they tell you, you can't make Teshuvah 100%. You can't erase it with Yom Kippur 100%. You can't even suffer
and get rid of it. But you can do a Kiddush Hashem. And that's one place in the Torah that the good balances out the bad. Now I would say, unfortunately, that based on what we heard tonight, and I have a lot more, but I'm not going to talk about it. Based on what we learned tonight, that A, we are special people. B, we live by a higher standard. C, that it doesn't take much to make Chilul Hashem, it's just misbehaving or behaving below the level of ambassador. That most are guilty of this horrible crime. I do not exclude myself. And what it takes for us to turn it around is to start behaving in that sterling manner that was described by the Gemara. And you know something? It's really not that difficult. What did it say? Be honest in your business. Do business in a pleasant way. Don't raise your voice when you speak to people. Don't be rude. Be pleasant. Have people look at you and admire the way you look, the way you talk, the way you walk, the way you conduct yourself. And have them say, that person, I always see them going to that shul. Those religious people, those Jewish people, they're very nice. They're lucky to be Jewish people. They're lucky to be part of the Syrian community. They're lucky. They're fortunate. Look how fine they are. Look how nice they are. Look how kind they are. Look how pleasant they are. How lucky they are to be part of that. Part of God's people who learn His book and live accordingly. That's what has to be said about you and you and you. Because as the Chafetz Chaim said, in today's world, with what's going on out there, everyone here is a Talmid Chacham. Even the ladies. You're the Rebbetzin. Oh, but I don't do this either. I'm afraid to do that because if I do that, then they'll call me the Rebbetzin. Then I have to do it. No. You, in regard to the rest of the world, don't have to do anything other than look, talk, and walk as part of our community. And that gives you the obligation to be not different, but better. Finer. Gentler and kinder. More polite. More considerate. Did I hit the right word yet? So with all the scare tactics, all I'm asking you to do is be nice. Be nice and walk proud that I'm a Torah person. And I want people to love my God and my Torah. And to realize that we really are chosen. And we really are better. And we really are right. In spite of what others may say about us. And I'll try hang around with people make me or make it easier for me to act that way. And most important of all, I will try to be the type of person that influences in a very mystical way by environment, by changing the atmosphere around me so that they will feel that's how I would like to be also. I wish you success in that endeavor. Amen.